All right, we're gonna finish up what we started. It's interesting that we're on Wednesday, we're in Colossians and Sunday, but it's okay. Mm-hmm. You know, because, you know, I know sometimes we say, we already studied that, we already done that, but when Paul was preaching, he always come back and mention some of the same things. And I know some of them will say, Paul, listen, we got that already. Right, but it was a kind of like stirring up mind thing. That's what it, you know, was all about, just the stirring up of the mind. Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, we're on page 35. Okay, the introduction. Somebody. Okay.
Looking at, I think it's one and all.
I think that one is all.
Okay, someone pick up on the introduction, please.
The circumstances that led to the writing of Colossians are interesting and complex. While Paul was a prisoner in Rome, AD 62, he came across a runaway slave named Onesimus. Paul taught him, and Onesimus became a Christian. None of that is particularly surprising. However, Paul had more than a passing interest in Onesimus. This slave had run away from a friend of Paul's who lived in faraway Colossae. His friend's name was Philemon. Conversion of Onesimus and Paul's friendship with Philemon contributed to the occasion for the writing of Colossians. A second factor was a visit Paul received from one of his fellow workers, a man named Epaphras. Epaphras had established a church in Colossae. He may have come to Paul for advice because the church in the city was under threat. False teachers were seriously compromising the gospel. Epaphras was with Paul when he wrote the letter. Paul wrote two letters, the first to the church in Colossae, and the second to his old friend Philemon on behalf of Onesimus. In addition, he asked Tychicus, one of his fellow workers, to accompany Onesimus with the letters. In the letter to the Colossian church, Paul addressed some of the concerns that Epaphras had spoken to him about. He didn't know many of the Colossian Christians by face, but they knew him by reputation. His words counted. He was an apostle.
It's interesting. You know, sometimes we run from this and run what? Right into. Are you with me? Onesimus escaped from Philemon, right? And ran right into Paul's arm, a friend of Paul. Interesting. You know, interesting. You know, it's, and that's really a blessing, you know. Sometimes we run away from some things that we really need. Mm-hmm. Are you with me? And God wants us to get this particular thing, and he would put something in our path to cause us to run back into the same thing, and vice versa. Also, sometimes we want to do wrong things, you know, so forth and so on, and we run, you know, back into wrong things. And we see that there was a compromising thing going on in Colossae. You know, compromise. Compromise means what?
Go along.
Get along.
Get along. Go along and get along. You see, but it was supposed to be no compromising in God's word. You see, because if it was compromising, you know, man could do it whatever he wanted to do to be saved. He could go wherever he wanted to do whatever he wanted to do. Just like I said today, there's a lot of compromising in God's word today, because you have some preachers preaching this, once saved, always saved, right? To an extent, it's true, right? But if you are saved, are you with me? You know, because some people just not saved from Jump Street. But if you are saved, you would know exactly what to do. Because one thing I heard a preacher say like this, he said, if you are truly saved, you know that you're going to fall. But when you fall, what? get right back up. When you fall, get right back up. Because if you don't get right back up, you're going to wallow. And it, sometimes the more you wallow in it, the longer you stay in it. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Yeah.
The longer you stay in it, the more you wallow in it. But when you, if you truly are Christian, and you said, I've done wrong. I got to get this thing right now. Because what? I don't know how many more minutes I got on this earth. Jesus said, if you die in your sin, where I am, what? You cannot come. Oh, I'm sorry. You cannot come. Are you with me? So when we do wrong, it's good that we get it right away. Are you with me? Sometimes we say something to our brother or our sister that's bad, right? And we know it hurt, right? But we're gonna wait a little while before we what? Get it right. Are you with me? It's not hurting the brother or sister that we hurt. It's really hurting us because we ain't getting it right. And we can get it right. You see, the Bible teaches us to work while it's what's still light, because darkness come, no man can work. So in other words, you do right when you can do right. Are you with me? If you fall, get back up. But like I said, you got some preachers who are saying that once again, and we went over this before, that once saved, well, I can do anything, and all I got to do is what? Nothing, right? Because I'm saved. And once again, like I said, you have some are saying that, you don't have to worry about nothing because there's different levels of hell. We've been there before. They said there's different levels of hell, so you don't have to worry about, just like if you ain't a murderer, you just commit adultery. That ain't, that ain't like a mass murderer. Are you with me? You just steal a little here and there. You cheat on your taxes. Just these little sins, right? So they're teaching, this is what they're teaching. And sooner or later you'll hear somebody else say it. They're teaching that there's a level of hell that ain't that bad. That's the teaching out there.
Yeah.
And I know, Bill Patterson, you ain't heard nothing like that. Yeah, I did. I listen to stuff. I study, I read it. If you tell me something, I might keep it for a while. That's the type of person I am, right? But you have some people who are saying that there's levels. And if you teach this, that there's levels, guess what? A person ain't going to really want to do the right thing. And what God told us, he said, go ye therefore and what? Teach. Teach what? The gospel. Not our way. The gospel. And if we go up into somebody's face teaching the gospel, and we just came out of the nightclub, right? Guess what? Exactly. That's not teaching the gospel. Are you with me? That's teaching our way. This is how we do it. So you can follow me because I'm going to heaven. Are you with me? All you got to do is just follow me. Compromising God's word. Are you with me? That's a compromiser. But we see Paul straighten that up, because of Epaphras. He came and he told Paul that we got some problems in Colossae. You could have imagined some saying that old big mouth Epaphras. He got to tell everything. He can't keep nothing. We just having a little fun. We ain't hurting nobody. What sin is sin. Sin separates us from God. Mm-hmm. It separates us, and we have to really regulate that. Are you with me? Even when it comes to saying I'm sorry to a brother or sister or a wife or husband, if you've done something wrong, I mean, saying you're sorry is the first step. Even if you don't mean it, say it. Are you with me? It's because some people don't say it because they don't mean it. I don't really mean it, so that's why I ain't going to say it. But say it anyway. Are you with me? Learn to do right anyhow. Just like, on Monday mornings, it's like we all weekend we're cooling out, looking at football game. Monday morning, we got to go to work. Are you with me? And if you had jobs, no more. if you have jobs like I had, right? So some of us had jobs that we could go to, you know, didn't have to go to. We have days. We still get paid, right? But me, my job, if I didn't show up, I did not get paid. I didn't get no money for it because I didn't have no hours in, right? And you know those Monday mornings that you don't feel like going, you know? You know, you want to call in and say, you know, my stomach hurt. There ain't nothing wrong with your stomach. You know, I got to do this or I got to do that or my wife's sick or, you know, it's something, you know. So we won't go in, right? And when you don't go in, you don't what? Get paid. But if you say, well, I'm going to do it anyhow. Are you with me? You get up, you struggle, you put your clothes on and you go to work and you work that day. Guess what? You get paid for it. Are you with me? The same thing is in when, you know, saying I'm sorry. Are you with me? Listen, I apologize for what I said, for what I've done. I'm sorry. Are you with me? And because you've done that, you've done the right thing. You force yourself to do it now, but you did the right thing. Are you with me? You've done the right thing. Okay. Reconciled to God. Anybody? Anybody?
Before Paul admonished and corrected the Colossian church, he gave voice to matters they held in common. Early in the letter, the apostle heralds the praise of the Christ. Jesus was the center of the message. Paul put Christ before them in cosmic terms. He is the direct agent of creation. He is before all things. He sustains all things. Paul's authority derived from him. Because of who Jesus was and what he had done, Paul is able to help them set their doctrinal house in order.
Okay. You see, Paul wanted them to understand that this is not what coming from me. Are you with me? You know, just like when I preach or whatever, right? Brother Patterson said, are you with me? Brother Patterson said to do. Are you with me? Make sure what Brother Patterson said is what Christ told him to say. Are you with me? And what Paul was doing, Paul was letting them know, listen, I'm doing what Christ told me to do. I'm saying what Christ told me to say. It's just like an ambassador to the United States. If the president gives the ambassador something to take to another country, that ambassador is supposed to what? Say the same thing without adding to nor taking away. He's supposed to say the same thing the president gave him, told him to say. And we are ambassadors of Christ, so we are to not add on to Christ's word, nor take away from it. We're supposed to teach Christ's word how he said it and be done with it. If Christ said to do it, do it. If he said not to do it, not to do it. Not to compromise God's word and say, you know, listen, if you do it, just make sure you... It's just like robbing a bank, you know. It's like, you know, robbing a bank. You know, you're teaching somebody. You say, listen now, if you're going to rob a bank, right, are you with me? Don't make sure you got a mask on. Are you with me? Make sure you got gloves on, you know, so you won't get caught. You know, because it's stupid if you go in there putting your fingerprints out, you know, and got your face open like that. That's crazy. You see, somebody would teach somebody that, especially children. They teach the children that because they teach children about safe sex. Are you with me? They teach our children, and some parents teach their children also, the safe sex. Are you with me? To wear a condom so you won't get a disease or you won't get one pregnant, right? But the true teaching that a Christian would teach is to abstain from that until you get married. Are you with me? To abstain from that until you get married. Don't just, you know, do it, you know, and cover it up with a condom. It's just like when you go to rob a bank. You know, make sure you have a face mask on and gloves. Are you with me? Because that'll get you, you know, that'll help you in robbing a bank. You know, so you probably won't get caught, and they can't prove it because they don't know, they don't see who you are, they don't have your fingerprint or your DNA or whatever. So you know, but Paul is telling them, he's trying to let them know that this is not coming from me. You know, you know, you have many educated people, educated preachers. I mean, big time educated people. Me, I ain't that big time educated. I just study. Are you with me? But I'm not downing the big time educated preachers. But sometimes, you know, we seem to follow up on the people who are up there, you know. And you know, well, this man he been to such and such. He got his master's. He got his what the other one is?
Doctrine.
You see, I don't even know that, see? You see, doctrine and he got some more. Are you with me? So this is the one I wanna listen to. Are you with me? But you gotta remember, when Jesus found his apostles, they weren't up there. They were fishermen. Hey, you don't need no education to be a fisherman, do you? Huh? Are you? Huh?
Yeah, you do.
well, you know, you need a hook and a bait and a line, right? Or a net, right? You know, you're going to get some training now. You're going to get some kind of training, you know. But you don't need no Jimmy big-time education to be, you know. And that's what they were. And when Jesus came, right, they was amazed at what he knew. And he wasn't at no college. Are you with me? They said, this man teaches like he's an authority. Like he know what he's, you know, talking about. You know, and I've been to school and I don't know some of these things. Right? But Paul is saying that, you know, listen, though you got a lot of respect for me, right, it's all coming from who? Christ. I continue to say.
After he took human form, the firstborn of all creation, became the firstborn from the dead. As creator, he is ruler of the universe. As firstborn from the dead, he is Lord of the church. Mm-hmm. All the fullness of deity was pleased to dwell in him. No clever philosophical arguments, no appeals to personal experiences, no sophisticated airs could substitute for what Christ had done.
Amen. Let's hold it right there. Okay, you see that? See, once again, right, you got to be all that, right, to understand what Christ is telling us, right? And Paul is saying, I'm not that. You know, I'm just a plain old Paul. You know, just a plain old Paul delivering God's word. And the firstborn of the dead, what is that? Jesus was the firstborn of the dead. What is that?
First to rise.
He was the first to rise. You know, and he was the first to rise in the watch. In the church, what became the church. Are you with me? Because he was the first to, and this is what we're going to do. When we go down in baptism, we are raised up into God's church. Okay, go ahead, please.
He had reconciled them to God. Before Christ, an inseparable barrier had separated God and humankind. There is no need for reconciliation unless there has been a previous estrangement. Paul's readers knew what separated them from God. They learned it from Epaphras, their first teacher. Their sin separated them from God. Without Christ, the lot of humankind is to be alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds. By going to the cross, by shedding his blood, Jesus had broken down the barrier. He had made peace.
Okay. All right. He had, you know, we had to be reconciled. In other words, he's teaching us today that sin has separated us, but we have to be reconciled. Are you with me? So he's teaching us that he came from heaven. He came from heaven in the flesh. He was born of a virgin. He was born and he in the flesh. He was baptized in the flesh. He suffered. He was accused. He taught. He cried. He was hurt. You know, all of this in the flesh. He taught us. Are you with me? And then he got on that cruel cross for no reason. He didn't no sin that he had, and he died for us. He died for us, shedding his blood. And this is the story that on that third day he raised up. Let's don't forget that. Not just that he died on the cross, because if he died on the cross and that was it, you know, we ain't saved. We're not reconciled. But we are reconciled because of his waking up on that third day. And through that God brought us, gave us another chance to come back to him. Because our forefather, Adam and Eve, they got us into this trouble. Could you imagine, this is a joke here now, right? Could you imagine some people saying, I can't wait to get to heaven and get to Adam and Eve. So I can't wait to get to them too, you know, where they put me through all this, you know, this mess I went through because of them. Amen. Okay. All right. Continue research.
Paul extended reconciliation and peace beyond the human sphere. He spoke of things on earth and things in heaven. Because of sin, the unity and harmony of the cosmos has suffered a considerable dislocation, even a rupture, thus requiring reconciliation. It's from somebody named O'Brien. Elsewhere, the apostle hints at a level of alienation that incorporates nature itself. At the return of the Lord, reconciliation will be universal. By God's grace, Jesus had made it possible for Colossian Christians to be holy and blameless beyond reproach. Still, the apostle will not withhold a sober warning. Their being among the reconciled presupposed their faithfulness to the gospel. What they believed mattered. Christ had made Paul his minister. As a minister of the Lord, he was able to guide them in the way of truth.
He was able to guide it. You know, if you, this is said, you know, you ought to be teachable. Are you with me? In order to learn, you ought to be teachable. You know, you know, in school, remember those bullies in class? You know, you're trying to learn, right? And they're shooting spitballs at your head. You're trying to receive what the teacher is teaching. So you would have it, are you with me? Like you're supposed to have it. But you have some people who don't want you to have it. And Paul is letting them know, you know, that there will be some compromise in the church. There will be some people who don't think this is right or that's right. But that's why it's important that we study the Bible, that we read, you know, not just read it, because many of us could, you know, quote scriptures, right? But if that scripture is not in our heart, if that scripture is not in our walk, in our lives, it ain't doing us no good. You know, just knowing it. Are you with me? Just knowing it. It's just like a man would say, I know how to work. Do you have a job? No. Right? Do you need a job? You know? So you need to work. You need to work, right? In order to get paid. But we, like I said, we sometimes we compromise and you know, we want to do it our way, kind of like, you know, and I know sometimes it's hard, you know, especially on the preachers, right? You know, sometimes the preacher, he might have to say something like this, you must be on time. Are you with me? And somebody going to get mad. Are you with me? Who you think you is, you know? Are you saying, you know, I know I'm supposed to be on time. You know, and you know, sometimes the preacher may have to preach on something like that. This, you know, but he's doing what Christ told him to do. Show me in the scripture where Christ told you to tell me to be on time. You know, show me in the scripture, you know. So you got to know where the scripture is. Elders, where is the scripture? Not forsake the assembly of the saints. You know, that's one. Are you with me? The Bible teaches for the elders, for we are to listen to the elders. Are you with me? If the elders say such and such, we're supposed to do such and such. And not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, we ought to recognize this, that it don't mean coming in late. Are you with me? It means coming, you know, being first. You know, be the first one there. And I'm not messing with nobody, you know, but every now and then, and I know, it's like you're throwing a rock at a glass house. Are you with me? And it's just saying, if you're living in a glass house, you ought not throw stones. Are you with me? Because if a stone is thrown back at you, your house will break down too. Are you with me? So, you know, every now and then, you know, teachers going, you know, have to teach. You know, and preachers going to have to preach. And parents going to have to be parents. Are you with me? It's just like I said, you know, kids do wrong. And we love them, and we discipline them, right? Some kids think that's the wrongest thing in the world to do. And today, it is, because of what the law has caused us to do, not discipline our children. Are you with me? If you brought them into the world, right, and they do something wrong and you discipline them, that they got the right to go to the authority, and the authority got to come and ask you why you did this. So, you know, and that shouldn't be, right? You know, because that's your child, right? But there is some who abuse their kids, their children. There's some who abuse, right? But it's a teaching. It's a teaching. We're not on that today, but it's a teaching in that we must understand. We must understand. Okay, rise up with God. Raise up with God, I'm sorry. Anybody.
When teachers with strange messages wormed their way into the assembly, the Colossians were to focus on Christ. In Jesus was the fullness of deity. But as divinity is in Christ, so Christ's people are in him. Being in him, they share in his divine fullness. The teacher who had invaded the Colossian church offered a strange mixture of doctrine. Like many false teachers, they drew a little from one place and a little from another. Some of what they said had roots in pagan philosophies. It had an appearance of wisdom. They drew other teachings from the Old Testament. Believers, they said, needed to be circumcised and to observe festivals, new moons, and Sabbath days.
Okay, something like that. Tell me some things that would you know, strange doctrine that's brought in to the church of late. What are some strange things that were just brought in?
You don't have to be submerged to be baptized. You can be sprinkled.
Okay, that's one. Okay.
Don't have the Lord's Supper every Sunday.
You don't have to have the Lord's Supper every Sunday. You know, another one, when you say Lord's Supper, some churches, they're doing the real thing, wine. Mm-hmm. Are you with me? We know that's better than that, right? Don't we?
We don't have to eat wine.
Yeah, fruit of the vine. We, you know. Are you with me? There was a saying, right, that it was this church that they did wine, right? And said a lot of people enjoyed it for that taste, you know, so forth and so on, right? But you know, you have some churches, like I said, believe it or not, they do wine. They do wine. Brother Patterson, where are you getting all this stuff from? Free and, you know, check things out. All right? Mm-hmm. But, you know, but that's another thing. You know, the community, and they, you know, that's what they do. You know? And everybody, they come in straight like this and go out staggered. But anyway, that was supposed to be a joke. Everybody was supposed to laugh at us, okay? That's all right. Okay. But give me some more strange doctrine.
Women preachers,
mm-hmm. Right?
Women elders, women deacons.
You know, and that's another thing. Preachers got to preach that sooner or later. Are you with me? And when preachers preach that, people get mad. Mm-hmm. You know. The Bible teaches that a woman should be solid in the church. The Bible teaches that she shouldn't come usurping authority in the church. The Bible teaches that she ought to learn from her husband at home. Well, Brother Pastor, what if she ain't married? Well, you got the elders. Brother Pastor, what if you ain't got no elders? You got your preacher, right? You know, go to your preacher, right? But he didn't say, and Paul, during that particular time, there was a problem in the church, right? And the women, they just got out of control a little bit, okay? And Paul was saying that the women should, you know, stay silent, right? Learn from their husband at home. Are you with me? Because then he went on in another passage to say that it wasn't Adam that was deceiving, but it was the woman. God always wanted the man to be in charge. And the preacher going to have to preach that one Sunday, sooner or later, right? And I know it's going to be, you know, it's going to be some people who just going to disagree and I don't like what you said or whatever, right? But to usurp authority is this, right? For a sister to come in and tell the deacons, the elders, or the preacher what to do. Are you with me? They're not supposed to do that. Are you with me? They're not supposed to exactly tell them what to do, but they should give their suggestions. Are you with me? Suggestions, not you know, not tell them what to do. And that's like I said, you know, that's it's gonna be rough on the preacher now when it comes to that. But what else? Got women preaching and what else?
Musical instruments in church.
Instrument in church.
And worship service.
And worship service, yeah. Right? We, in Paul's time, we knew that there was instruments. There was, since David, we read about David, mm-hmm. and everything he praised God with mm-hmm. right? But we don't see where in the New Testament teaches us to what? Use instruments. Right? So if we don't use instruments and we want to use our voice to the Lord, right, at least it's telling us that. Are you with me? At least it's telling us to use our voices, right? Because if it really wanted to tell us to use instruments, it says use the pipe, use the organ, you know. But it didn't say, it says use our, so that's what we're going to follow. And if we're supposed to use instruments, then, you know, right? But we use our voices. And church, when we use our voices, use your voices. Just sing out loud. You know, sing out loud unto the Lord. Make a joyful what? Noise unto the Lord. Are you with me? You might not be able to sing. Just like me, I can't tote a note in a bucket, right? I'm not a good singer, and I know that, right? But I love to sing, right? And I love to sing loud. I remember my wife, you know, I remember in church one time, right? I was sitting by a sister, right? And the song leaders, you lead us, and I was singing loud, right? She got her pocketbook and moved. He said, "You, this is too much for me. You're too loud, you know." But you know, sing, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, right? If you sitting there listening to me, how I sound, right? You ain't getting it. You're not getting it. You're not getting what God is telling us, right? You know, you're really not getting it. You know, it says unto the Lord. Unto the Lord, our prayer unto the Lord, our worship unto the Lord, our giving unto the Lord, right? Back to giving. I remember back in the days, right? That you know, when we gave an envelope, you remember, right? You would turn your envelope over so nobody won't see it. Are you with me? And I understand, right? You might not want nobody to see it, right? But if you happen to put it upright, you ain't got to stop the usher or whoever say, "Oh, wait, come here. Are you with me? Because this unto God, you give it unto God, no matter if you give five or 500, you give it to who? God. Are you with me? You got to not be ashamed, because if $5 all you got, that's all you got. If 500 is what you got, it's not a bragging. It shouldn't be a bragging thing, a boasting thing. You give it to who? God. Yeah. Are you basically giving it to God? You know, and that's how we ought to see things. It's just like I heard one said that, you know, we got to be careful. Now, Jerry got a Mercedes, right? Right. I got a 76 Chevy, right? Jerry shouldn't drive his pretty Mercedes because I got a, are you with me? Jerry need to get another kind of car, you know, so he wouldn't make me look bad. Are you with me? Jerry need to drive that car because God has blessed him, and we need to see the blessing, what God has done. Are you with me? Not to be boasting, right? Not to, you know, to be big time or whatever. But if God blessed him with that, drive it. Are you with me? Drive it. You know, because somebody going to feel that way anyhow. You know, you can't stop people's feeling. Go ahead.
What you're saying, Brian, and that's here, is the fact that what we all supposed to be doing, because we're not perfect, we're supposed to be putting God first in everything. Mm-hmm. As you always said, keeping the main thing. But because the Bible tells us that there will come a time as though it's not already here, that men will seek to hear what their itching ears want to hear.
Exactly.
And they will seek out someone to say what they want to hear, which is compromising, as you were talking about, making a compromise, adding to or taking away or bending the word of the Lord so as you said, it won't make you feel so bad, or to get more people to come to your church, or to get whatever you want, not what God wants, but what you want.
Exactly.
That's why we come to church, to learn, to study, to make sure that we're on the right track, and we can go out and tell the same story. You can tell the same story. I tell the same story about Christ, what he did, what our purpose is on this earth. But if your intention is to make yourself look good, or my intention is to make myself look good, we're going to alter the word. You're going to say one thing, I'm going to say something else.
Bad thing.
Then the word is going to get out. That's why I don't go to church, because all of them is the same. Everybody, every church is going to be labeled the same. We have to be conscious of what we're doing, the reason we're doing it for. It's not to make the church look good. It's not to make us look good. It's for the sake of God. And because we're going to have to give an account for each and every one of us, whether we realize it or not, we have to give an account for it when we stand before judgment.
Exactly. And it starts at the church. Yeah. Are you with me? It starts at the preacher who teaching it, and then the church, and then, are you with me? Because we have to truly study that we teach God's word. What God says, that's what we say. If he didn't say it, don't add to it nor subtract. And like you said, there's some who teach You know, because there's some who go out and tell people, teach people, right? But they take away from it so they could build up the church. Or they add to it so they could, what, build up the church. God didn't tell us to do that. He said, the example he gave, he says, Paul planted, Apollos watered, and God's going to give the increase. He said, go ye therefore and teach the gospel. And he said, once again, if anybody bring any other gospel except the gospel that was given, let it be a curse. Are you with me? So we have to teach the gospel. Tell them the gospel. The gospel. If the gospel don't do it, what's going to do it? You know? Listen, if you come to this church, we play bingo, and listen, I won $500 last week. Are you with me? Come on with us. Right? We got bingo night. You know, come on, you know, and you know, a line would be from the old grocery store out there all the way around. Are you with me? You know, because there's money in it. Mm-hmm. Amen. Okay, amen. Continue, please.
Rather than refuting the false teachers, Paul pointed to the all-sufficiency of Christ, a positive understanding of who the Lord was and what he had done was sufficient to put the teachers to silence. First, they had a spiritual circumcision. Although they were Gentiles, they shared fully in the people of God. Second, they had experience in baptism, a burial and resurrection with Christ through faith. Third, they had been dead, but in Christ, they have been made alive. The false teachers offered new things, new knowledge, and esoteric glances into the spiritual world. Paul took his readers back to what they knew about their relationship with Christ. When Christians know the New Testament message, they are prepared to resist the myriads of false doctrines that men conceive. On the basis of these verses, some had defended infant baptism. They maintained that as circumcision was an invitation for infants into the initiation for infants into the people of God, so baptism is an initiation for infants. Paul's point lies in a different direction. He maintains that one, spiritual circumcision, confessing Christ, and turning one's back on sin results in participation in the kingdom of God. And two, oneness with Christ is a result when a sinner is buried and raised with him in baptism. There is no hint of infant baptism. Whatever accusations might be leveled at a Christian, whether they find their source in the degrees of the law of Moses or from some other quarter, they have all been nailed to the cross. The false teachers had tried to impose an eccentric lifestyle on Christians.
Okay. It's very important. Once again, compromising baby baptism, right? A baby, the Bible teaches you must hear God's word. Baby don't understand. You must understand what you hear. You must believe. Are you with me? You must repent, right? Baby's done nothing. Baby don't understand none of this. All right. So we don't baptize babies. And another thing is that compromising the law, you know, they want to teach something that has nothing to do with salvation. Are you with me? Has not one thing to do with salvation, but it sounds good. So therefore, it must be good. And we know everything that sounds good ain't good for you. Everything that looks good ain't good for you. Even everything that tastes good ain't good for you. Are you with me? It's just like pork, right? Had some yesterday, so don't say passing to eat pork, right? But, you know, now when I eat pork, pork make me sweat. Okay? So, are you with me? It put my blood up a little bit. It tastes good. Pork chop, oh my goodness. Neck bone, ham heart, chitlins. These are beautiful, beautiful tasting food, but it's not good for you. Brother Jerry, would you please close us in prayer? Okay.